Check out We Are Cavan football podcast in association with McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Real food, real people. Try Super Value's own range in store today. Quality products at one third the price of branded labels. McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Supporting local. We Are Cavan podcast. Because Cavan's not just a place, it's a people.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the McAvoy's Super Value GEA podcast brought to you by We Are Cavan. On today's show, we've got a jam-packed show in probably the busiest time of the year in GEA around Cavan. We'll be looking at hurling, hearing from the Cavan hurling manager as they get ready to take on Monaghan in a massive game tomorrow in Kingspan Breffni. Ollie Bellew speaks to us. We'll hear from Jimmy Galligan, who's manager of the International Rules Masters team that are taking on Australia at the moment. The second test is coming up on Saturday tomorrow out in Cross Keys with the over 40s men's and women and the over 50s men's side taking on Australia out in the Paddy Gaffney Memorial Tournament. We'll also be looking back on Cavan minors and under 20s defeat to Donegal on Wednesday night in Kingspan Breffni in the Minor Ulster League and the under 20 Ulster Championship. And we'll hear from the Cavan under 20 our football manager, Larry Riley. But look, let's start off with hurling because it's a massive game on Saturday afternoon. 1 o'clock throw-in in Kingspan Breffni. It's the Northern Sound Derby. Cavan taking on Monaghan. Cavan win the game, they're guaranteed a promotion. If they get a point, they're guaranteed a promotion and a semi-final place. If they lose the game, they still will have a promotion. Most likely, but if they lose it significantly, they could end up in a relegation. So it's all on the line, and Monaghan are fighting for their lives. A loss almost guarantees them relegation. So big pressure game. After having a promotion last year, it becomes an even bigger game because the expectation was never that you'd be in the promotion hunt, but an opportunity there. So well done so far, but get in and support the lads. Let's hear from the Cavan hurling manager, Ollie Bellew.
So delighted to be joined by the Cavan hurling manager, Ollie Bellew. I'm going to start calling you Ollie the Oracle because you're working magic here in Cavan. I said at the start of the year, if Cavan were to hold their own and stay in Division 3A, it would be a massive achievement considering never been up around that area before. But you're not just holding your own, you've got a chance and a real good probability of going up a division.
Yeah, we're within touching distance now. There's sort of two things on offer. Well, there's three things on offer tomorrow, and the first one is a draw or better, and we'll be in the semi final of the league. So, a year after winning 3B, we're already in the hunt for another National League final, and it would just be amazing. You know, it'd be amazing to get that one more game, and it's likely to be Sligo. So, another crack at Sligo would be fantastic. But then we also have the other scenario, you know, providing we aren't beaten by 15 points or more, we'll be promoted up the tiers again, which would be great. But in reality, there is one sort of scenario, you know, a big loss tomorrow and you could be relegated. And everything that has happened this season has been absolutely amazing, and it all comes down to tomorrow. I don't think we'd be relegated. I hope it would be an absolute disaster for us, and it would take a massive failing as a team to go down. But the focus is very firmly on getting to that semi-final place, and that leaves us with Mayo and Sligo. And if somebody did offer that to us last year when we were coming home with the trophy, you probably would have laughed, because I remember as the night went on, sitting in the corner of the hotel, panicking about what have we done, because we were looking down the barrel of Mayo, Sligo, Armagh, Louth, and obviously Monaghan. And now we've put two of them away. And if we can put one more away tomorrow, we're in the big time, you know.
Just to recap last week, I was saying I wasn't at the game, I was away. But at halftime, seeing on social media, down by 7 and Canis Maher going off, I was thinking to myself, oh, this is... this is just going to be a really difficult and tough second half. How did the thing turn around so comfortably in the end? I suppose that you turn a 7-point deficit to, at one point you were 5 points up, I think, coming into the closing stages.
It's kind of funny. I mean, again, if you sort of rewind the clock back and somebody said, you've got Armagh and Breffni, and you're 7 points down at half time, you lose your captain and one of your most influential players, you know, you just say the writing's on the wall. But the God's honest truth was, last Saturday, we said heading into the tunnel, you know, we're still in this. We haven't been that far off. We hit a lot of wides. I think we gave them about six frees. And they were putting them all over. So the run of play was absolutely 50-50, I thought, going in. Even though it looked so dramatic and so bad, I just knew we weren't going to stay that bad forever. It was another poor first half, and that's something that we're looking very hard at. You know, we're doing a lot of work and trying to work out how to fix that. But get in, we knew we had the boys we want them. We're going to make a few tweaks. We sat very defensively and set up so that we weren't blown away early or anything else, and that worked. So the tactic worked at halftime, and we just thought in the second half, right, time to throw the shackles off and be the team that we are, and let's go for them. The only issue I had was we're playing against fairly strong breeze, and I was kind of wondering how that would affect us, but we're hurling side, so it nearly works in your favour sometimes. And the team talk at halftime was very simple. You know, we'd let ourselves down as far as our end product had gone, but everything else we were doing was bang on the money. So, you know, there were no raised voices. There were no beating tables or chairs or anything else. You know, we just stayed very calm and talked straight about it and said, look, these are the couple of tweaks we'll have to make. Let's go for it. And Tom said them as they went out the door, you know, you're well in this. And sure as God, they just did what they do best. They came out and put on a show, and they were brilliant.
And a lot of the quality, young lads seem to be stepping up for you.
I think we counted with three All-Ireland winners, four Laurie Maher finalists, and another three super debutants sitting on the bench looking in on Saturday. But it's because people like, you know, Ryan Delaney, Jack McGuinness, all these young guys that are coming through, you know, we have an entire cabin-based team out there on Saturday the majority of whom have come through the system. You know, like, training last night, such a bite to it, you know, that you nearly had to keep a lid on it. It's just growing in quality every time, because you have great, great players that are sitting on the bench waiting their chance, and you can pick them on reputation and what you know they can deliver. But in reality, how do you leave boys out who are absolutely flying and training, flying in matches? You know, we've a brilliant problem at the minute. We've 30 players now who are all top drawer, and you'd think the loss of Canis, maybe your captain last week, you'd have you panicking and worrying. Nobody's panicking and nobody's worrying. It's just next man in and away we go again.
How is Canis looking for this weekend and the other injuries, Dylan and co?
No, there'll be no sign of Canis this weekend now, because even if miraculously he was to recover, he's having a scan today. And even if that was perfect result and said you're available for tomorrow, I don't think we would even consider. We haven't named him on the panel. It's just happened at a time of the year, you know, the real big prize is the Laurie Maher, obviously. You know, that's what we're going after. But in the meantime, there's a great prize and offer tomorrow. But we would rather do that based on, you know, the boys that we've put faith in all along. So, you know, the fact that Canis is out tomorrow, as I say to you, it's just the next man in and let's go for the game. So we definitely won't see him tomorrow. And all being well tomorrow, we get a draw or better. I'd be reluctant, even if he was fit the following weekend, to use him again. You know, it's time to put the faith in other people and let that injury heal properly, because it was quite a nasty bang he took, you know. So we're just not sure where he is at the minute, but we're totally happy with the rest of the lads that we have.
Yeah, looking at Monaghan, one win from the three games, but there has been over the last number of years kind of a feeling Monaghan are above Cavan in the hurling pecking order. So there's local bragging rights going on here. I call it the Shannon or the Northern Sound Derby. So it's one that us Cavan ones are really hoping we get over the line tomorrow.
Yeah, massively. The Battle of Breffni I heard a couple of times this week as well. So it is going to be, tomorrow is going to be an absolute monster. They are coming like a train at us, because anything less than a win for them tomorrow could have very serious side effects for them. They could be dropping the division, they could be relegated tomorrow. So, you know, that's based on potentially Louth beating Armagh, which I don't think will happen. I think, you know, Armagh can pick up a win tomorrow. But Monaghan arrived tomorrow in Kingspan and Breffni with the real possibility of being relegated. And ironically, on the flip side of that, if they beat us tomorrow, they could be taking the place in the league semi-final. So it's everything to play for. They win tomorrow, they're in the league semi-final. We win, we're in the league semi-final. If they lose, they're gone. And so, you know, everything's on this one. And, you know, I've said it before, like, you've got to make the most of home advantage. We love playing in there. It suits us. Big open spaces and let us get at teams, you know. But we need everyone out tomorrow. You know, we need every young hurler in the county out watching us. We need the parents and the families and everybody to get behind the team. It's a massive game. And for Cavan Hurling to play in the next division's league semi-final a year, immediately after being promoted, would just be brilliant for everyone.
It would be. It'd be an absolutely massive achievement. But nothing less than deserved from you and all of the guys, the work and the honesty in it. Look at hopefully a huge, huge crowd get in and support it. You know, the earlier throw-in has been kind of put in place to facilitate that the supporters can go to both the hurling and the football tomorrow. So hopefully it's a big occasion. Ollie, I know you deserve to go up and you deserve that semi-final place. So hopefully you get what you deserve tomorrow.
Yeah, it would just be amazing. And I'm not joking when I do say at the end of last year, you know, the night of the homecoming after the divisional final, you know, I do remember being apprehensive and a wee bit nervous about it all because I knew we'd been promoted and you know, how much had we bitten off. And we always wanted to be up a tier. We always wanted to give it a go. But as a manager and the one that's going to be in the firing line, you do worry a wee bit. And I think Tom and I sort of did feel that a bit last year. But we purposely picked a really small panel this year so we could get greater work done. And Tom and all the guys that support him in the performance side of it all, they've put in amazing work. I actually think bar Mayo were probably the fittest team in the division. Keith Green's done smashing work with the boys. Tom has them performing top drawer as usual. And his tactics have been bang on all year. So look, please God, tomorrow we'll just get one more good performance out of them, and that'll do us for another week anyway.
Fingers crossed. Thanks, Ali.
Yeah, lots of competition for places there, and lots of homegrown talent, which is brilliant to see in Hurling. And new clubs springing up. Just any kids in the Cavan Town area that do want to get involved in Hurling this evening, Friday evening, and next Thursday evening, which is the 21st up in Drumalee. We're starting up on the Ridge Hurling. So if you want to come up to Drumalee and you're from any of the surrounding area, the clubs in the surrounding area that don't currently play a Hurling, we'd be delighted to see you come up and have a go at it from 12 years down to 6. Everybody's welcome, and it'd be great to see you pick up and have a go at it. Okay, best of luck to the lads on that one.
Brady's Arva Limited, main dealers for Volkswagen cars and commercial vehicles, have been serving the needs of the motoring community in Cavan, Longford, Leitrim, Monaghan, Meath and the surrounding counties for over 50 years. A family owned and family run business, Brady's are famous for their long association with the GAA. If you're looking for a new or used car or commercial vehicle, check out Brady's Arva Limited. They provide an unrivaled sales and after-sales service and are open 6 days a week. Brady's Arva Limited. Get on the winning team today. See www.bradysarva.ie for more details.
Now on to Masters football and the Paddy Gaffney Memorial Tournament, which takes place every few years, and Australia send over a team to play the Irish contingents out in, with the second test always out in Crosskeys. Looks like it'll be a brilliant day, great day's entertainment. There'll be plenty going on inside the field and outside the field, but to look ahead to it, I spoke last week before the first test where Ireland won quite significantly in all three tests, but I spoke to Jimmy Galligan in the build-up to it.
So joined by the manager of the Masters compromise rules team for Ireland, getting ready for a visit from the Aussies, Jimmy Galligan.
Yes, Damien, joint manager. Yeah, look, it is something that has happened over the last number of years. Paddy Gaffney, a good friend and colleague of mine from then, we played football for years together, and sadly Paddy passed away very much after a game in then. In the last, we'll say, 10 years, Australia has come over for the last three times. We have beaten them. It has become the Paddy Gaffney tournament. This year, it's actually growing legs because the lads that came 3 or 4 years ago, Damien, they enjoyed the crack that much that they're actually coming back. So the Australia's contacted us. I'm also the vice chairman of the All-Ireland Masters setup. And they're bringing a 40s team. They're also bringing an over 50s team. And believe it or not, they're bringing ladies over 40s team. And look, it's going to be a good bit of fun. We're heading to Clare...
Charlestown
in Mayo on the 9th of March, and the second leg is going to be played in Paddy Gaffney's home ground over in Crosskeys. Look, we are hoping to have weather-wise, when you look at the weather today, Damien, it's a disaster with the snow, but what can you do? And it's great to see Breffni Park looking so well here this evening. So we're fingers crossed, and look, we're looking forward to the contest, and hopefully all will work well for us.
So talk to me a little bit about... who's representing Ireland at all three grades?
Well, Masters football over the last number of years, I was involved in it back in 2008. Myself and John Pat Shorten, Eugene Bradley, a lot of lads like that scattered around, James Breslin, Longford, you know, and we started it back up and running again. At that time, there was only 5 counties took part in it. Joe Leonard from Tyrone also... So we got it growing. It went from 5 to 8. This year, or last year, 23 clubs took part in Masters football.
Counties,
which is great. Yes, when the ball is thrown in, it's as competitive as ever they were playing. But as soon as it's finished, the fun, the crack the lads have mixing. So, like Tyrone are All-Ireland champions. Even Cavan got on the win and they came in the third level of it. You know what I mean? There's football there for everybody. The idea is keep lads playing for as long as you can. You know what I mean? And when you can't play, then... start to referee,
yeah, and get lots of abuse for it.
Get more abuse.
And could we also on the over 40s team? There of the 23 counties that there are Masters teams, there's one from everybody represent from every county represented.
Yeah, well, we were a little bit handicapped, I would see it on that, because a few things we had to get in place was because we have 23 counties playing, we were only allowed to take one person from each county to make up the panel. Now, we also were doing training session trials around Athlone, Mullingar, Longford area for the last 6 weeks or so. And we also had to have lads that was going to be able to commit to go to them trainings. Now, we have turned out, we have a great bunch of lads. There's lads coming from Cork, from Kerry, from Antrim, Derry, Tyrone, you know what I mean? And we look to keep it in the centre of the country as much as we can. But look, we will give it a shot. So Keith Fannin is representing us on the 40s level. Keith from Drumgoon. And Patrick Mulligan from Arva is representing us on the 50. And of course, my own club mate and friend, Rosie McKeever Crow, is representing the ladies. Look, it's going to be a bit of crack. Hopefully everything will go well, weather permitted. I was meeting with the Den Club last week and they seem to be really buying into it with marquees and barbecues. And look, the sky will be the limit and hopefully we'll see as many out there as we can. I know Cavan's playing that evening, but look, you'll still have time to make the game in Armagh and see where we're at.
So the first game, Charlestown, on March the 9th. The second game, then, what time is it in Crosskeys?
Well, the first, the both games will be starting at 12 o'clock. The throw-in, they're playing 18, four quarters of 18. And it takes its own time to do that. And it's 8 or 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And sure, we will probably go to the tank for light refreshments afterwards and a little small spree and the usual things that happen around the tank, you know.
Yeah, it was a great initiative. And I know that a lot of the players that are involved very, very excited by the opportunity to play against the Aussies. They're coming well-armed, though, the Aussies.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, the last few times they came, it was a wee bit of a party for them. They overshot the runway. There was a cricket score put up against them. This year, when they made contact with us, you're talking 6 months ago, they started to get on a training programme, and they have been working. Now, we're looking at ex-professionals that are still in good nick playing ball. So this is not going to be a walk in the park. We're looking at this, and we don't really know until the game, because it's very hard to get a competitive challenge game against something like that. We have been mixing it up for the last few weeks, trying to referee it and trying to allow it, trying to train lads that when you catch the ball, step back, as in taking a step forward, not realising that you can get mowed out of it. Simple, small little things, but look, it's a challenge. We're having great crack doing it, there's no doubt about it. And I'd just like to thank all of our players from all over Ireland to come and take part in what would be the best friend ever you had was Paddy Gaffney from then. Great man, you know. So yeah. it's only right that he gets as much recognition as we can give him, you know.
Yeah, well, look, it promises to be a great couple of weekends. So hopefully the crowds come out into Cross Keys, particularly around the Cavan area, Cavan, Longford, Leitrim and the Monaghan areas. They can come nice and close to it. So we're expecting a big crowd.
Expect a big crowd, yeah. Hopefully see you all over there. Thank you.
So if you're hanging around Cavan, do call out and support the lads and lassies out there. Of course, the three Cavan players involved in that one are Keith Fannin from Drumgoon, Rosie Crowe McKeever from Lacken, and Patrick Mulligan from Arva as well. So best of luck to them all in that one. Heading on back to Wednesday night there, Cavan Miners were out against Donegal in the opening round of the Minor League, Section A, and they suffered a defeat at the hands of Donegal, 2-13. Donegal getting 2-6 in the first half, having control of the game. Cavan with only 5 points. Cavan made a better stab of it in the second half, kind of came out a little bit more and really took the game to them. Joshua Shehu leading the line really for the Cavan side. Oren Madden with a point, along with a few more coming in then towards the end. Tiernan Flood off the bench done really well. Joshua Shehu nailing the freeze as well. So it was a better second half performance, but they probably left a little bit too much to do in that second half. They won the second half by a point, but disappointing for the lads because there's a lot of potential in that group. But I think they got a bit of stage fright or something happened, because they by no means played to their potential. They were a little bit reserved in the way that they played. They weren't breaking lines the way that they can. And they looked like they were kind of cautious. And that can happen sometimes with young lads. But the beautiful thing about this is they get an opportunity to bounce back straight away on Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, as they take on Fermanagh down in Derrygonley at 12 o'clock. So if they win that game by 10 points or more, they still qualify for the semi-final, which is big in terms of their hopes for the championship, because it gives them the opportunity to still be a top seed in the championship groups, which will take on. It also gives them the opportunity for a semi-final game, which is another game under their belt, another competitive game under their belt. So fingers crossed they can go down to Fermanagh and beat them by the required 10 points. I suppose first and foremost they have to beat them. Donegal beat Fermanagh in the opening round there as well. So Fermanagh are probably looking at this in the same way as Cavan, that they need a big win, but Fermanagh would need, I think it's closer to an 18-19 point win for Fermanagh for them to overhaul the score difference and come in as the best runner-up in the three groups. So yeah, we'll have reaction from that game on next week's We Are Cavan Diehards podcast over on patreon.com/WeAreCavan. The other game on Wednesday night then was the opening round of the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship. After the game, I spoke with the Cavan manager, Larry Riley. Joined by Cavan manager Larry Riley after, I suppose, disappointing defeat, but a really encouraging second half by your boys.
Yeah, Damien, look at we're disappointed. We're disappointed with the first half performance, I suppose. We just didn't get up to the speed of the game early on, and I suppose Donegal, the real punishment was done in the first 15-20 minutes. And I suppose the second half, look at, we asked the boys at half time to give us a, you know, give us a performance. And you know, we knew they were better than what they played in the first 20 minutes, 25. And look, at we suppose 10-7 in the second half. Man sent off with 7 or 8 minutes to go with a fairly contentious decision. You know, very contentious, very, 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 very harsh second yellow card. And look, at that's the way the game goes. You some decisions you get and some you don't.
at that stage you had it back to 3 points after clawing your way back from 8 points down. It showed great momentum, showed great character within the squad, but and Evan Crowe was a key player for him to go off. It was one of those decisions that had an impact on the outcome.
Absolutely. Against a team like Donegal, you go down one of your main players at centre back, and it was after they probably fetching a couple of great balls, and you know, to lose a man at that stage of the game, and we were on the upward curve, we had the momentum, and I suppose it was a major turning point of the game. But look, we can't dwell on it. It is what it is. As I say, our first half, 20 minutes was a poor performance. We'll dust ourselves down and we get ready for our man in 2 weeks' time.
There was a run of 7 scores in a row in that first half, and that was just, Cavan needed to get 1 or 2 scores in the middle just to break that momentum up.
Absolutely. That's where we struggled, I suppose. We just didn't get up to the pace of the game in the first 15, 20 minutes, and unfortunately, that's the way it goes. And I suppose the second half shows that we can get up to that pace. So look, we'll work on a few things now for the next two weeks. And I suppose all we can do is dust ourselves down. It's over, and we move on. And luckily enough, with the new format, we're not gone. So luckily, we have 2 games to get our season back in the shape.
A couple of things before I let you go. At half time, did you tell the lads to start running at them? Because I was saying it was almost like you were telling them to do what you love to do yourself as a player, run at them, and they were winning frees by just going direct at the opposition.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, we try and preach that, to run at the opposition. I suppose Donegal set back early on, in the first half. And that's what you expect them to do anyway, Donegal to do. And we just couldn't break them down. I suppose things loosened up a wee bit in the second half. Things opened up. They were probably tired a wee bit. And so the openings came, I suppose. And that's what you do. And then we made frees as well, and we kicked a couple of good frees. Again, we went in at half time, maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 points down. We missed a couple of easy shots in the first half. We had a goal-scoring chance. Darrell Lovett, a good shot. So all in all, we were down 7 or 8 points, but we could have went in a wee bit less, you know. So, look, as I say, we'll dust ourselves down and move on.
The other question I have for you is that, you know, when you were 8 points down, some managers could turn around and say, well, let's curtail it. You brought on a lot of attacking options, and your bench was really impactful, from Michal Smith to Dylan Edwards to Kian Keeney. Everybody had a big, strong impact off the bench.
Absolutely. Look, when you go 7 or 8 points down in the game, there's no point in sitting back in defence. You have to go at it. This new format, it can even go down maybe the score difference as well. So sitting back with an 8-point deficit to maybe try and get bet V10, I don't think anyone wants to see that. So look, we went at it. Did it work? Absolutely, it worked. A couple of substitutions made a big difference. And, you know, that's the way it goes. Some days it works and some days it doesn't.
Yeah, so disappointing result. The beautiful thing is it's no longer knockout, and one disappointing result is something to build on for their next game in 2 weeks' time against Armagh. I was impressed with the second half performance by Cavan. I thought Cavan showed that they're actually able to be a better team than Donegal when they put their mind to it and when they work hard. A little bit unfortunate in the first half. They were under pressure on their own kickouts. An unfortunate goal let in a little bit of bad luck, I suppose, maybe in that situation for the Knock Bride man. But in all, the reaction was really good for the Cavan side to be down at half time. Just looking at my notes here, to be down half time by 9 points, and then pull back and get it within 3, and I don't like giving out about referees. They have a very, very tough job, but I thought Evan Crowe's second yellow card was a bad decision by the referee. I spoke to another inter-county referee who was at the game, who said to me, in reality, it was probably a card for the Donegal player for feigning an injury, in his opinion. But it was a big call in the game. It had an effect on the outcome of the game, in my opinion, because Crowe was playing exceptionally well. He was really starting to turn the screw himself. Ryan Tobin, I thought, in the middle of the field, were playing really well. I thought Dylan Edwards off the bench had a huge impact, as did Jensen Tynan and Michal Smith. So the bench was very good. And not to mention Kian Keeney, 3 shots, 2 points from them, and very, very unlucky with another... 4 shots, 2 points, but the margin of error in the two that he missed. I think he hit the outside of the post on one side with one shot, and the outside of the post on the other side with another shot. So the impact off the bench was huge, and it was very attack-minded, as I said to Larry Riley after the game there, the manager. I thought that they were really, really good. They started to get to grips with Donegal a little bit more in that second half and put a little bit of the shackles on some of their key forwards, namely Patrick McIlwee and JK Malloy. They were really closed down very well in the second half. And Luke McGlynn was also curtailed a bit, but he's a fabulous footballer. He really pulled all the strings and ran the game, the centre half forward for Donegal. But I thought, if you look at Cavan, Darragh Lovett has to take special mention. 9 points. Now you could say, okay, six of them coming from frees, but a lot of those frees he won himself. And a bit like Paddy Lynch at senior level, consistency of a free taker, keeping that up around the 80-90%. By my mark, Cavan only missed one free in the entire game, or mark. So dead ball situation, Cavan were excellent, and needing to take on their man and winning those battles, winning those frees, was a vital turnaround in the second half. And Darragh Lovett, I thought, led the line for them. I thought Barry Donnelly really took the game to them as well. Oliver McChrystal showed a lot of good quality moments, needs probably just to improve on the shooting a little bit, but he has the ability to score the shots that he took. He's just got to maybe execute a little bit better, because I was very impressed with his performance as well. And a lot of good performances overall on the field. Oran Daly, I thought, a cornerback, had an excellent game as well. So there's a lot of positives coming out from that second half performance, considering we didn't know where this team was. We didn't know, other than at minor level, they were beaten by Fermanagh. I think they've made big progress since that. I think they've looked like they're well capable of competing and beating a team like Donegal, who made that Ulster final at minor level with this age grade, and I think have been in two semi-finals at minor level since that. So there's a lot of positives coming out from Wednesday night, but unfortunately the result wasn't what Cavan wanted or what Cavan went in going for. They will bring back, and they'll introduce some of the injured players over the next couple of games, and all they have to do is beat either Armagh and Fermanagh. Ideally they go and beat both of them, but if they beat either of them, they'll qualify for the quarterfinals. And maybe a slip up by Donegal might mean that it could even go that they'll make the top spot straight into the semi-finals. So a lot to play for in the coming weeks for the Cavan under 20s. So wish them the best of luck, and we'll be keeping a close eye on that over the coming weeks, watching to see how they get ready for the Armagh game. Before I go, I just want to offer out our condolences to an unbelievable Gael from Cavan and Ballina, who passed away during the week. Very sadly, the passing of Thomas Moore, I think, has touched us all. I know a lot of time when people die, there's a lot of positive comments about them, but genuinely, Thomas was one in a million. One of those people who, when you met him, you always came away wondering how he's such a nice guy, such a decent fella, and a very talented footballer, unbelievable striker of the ball, and a great leader when he led Ballina to that intermediate title back in 2020. A brilliant leader, winning senior medals with Ballina, intermediate medals, and an All-Ireland junior medal for Cavan. So we're all in Cavan mourning the loss of one of our greatest Gaels, great club man, great county man, and a great person overall. So we offer our condolences to Caroline and Thomas Jr. and to all of the Moore family and the extended family on the tragic passing of Thomas. Arestje Garev Aranam. Okay, that's all we've time, folks, for on this week's podcast. Don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/wearecavan, where we have loads of content this week out. We were looking back on all of the action from last weekend. We have the ladies football podcast with Aideen talking points, and we're looking ahead on a preview with Niall McKay to the Armagh game as Cavan take on Armagh in a promotion battle. It's a big, big, busy weekend. We also look ahead to Loretto in the All-Ireland Junior or under 16 A final, which takes place on Saturday. So there's a lot going on this weekend, and we'll have every bit of that reaction on the Diehards podcast over on patreon.com/wearecavan. Thanks a million for listening to the McAvoy Super Value GEA podcast.
Yes, it was great. Yes, it was great. Yes, it was great stuff.
And Larry has put it over the bar.
It was hard, fast football after that.
You're in Cavan, nice of you! Was there a feeling that might have been a chance for Cavan to get come back into the big time?
And then McCabe, and it's over the lap, and Cavan are not buried yet.
Cavan doing all they could to hold their lead.
To Derek McDonald, what a goal! Oh, yes!
And over the bar, Vincent Cahill, what a day he is having!
Oh, this is brilliant by Cavan!
Dandy-legged farmers walking the roads near Virginia. Hurrah, yeah, hurrah, yeah!